Blog Talk Radio. Storybox Audio.
Good evening and welcome to the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. I'm the producer, Gwen Berry, and with me tonight is host Wayne Johnson from Annapolis, Maryland, and author Ronald Feynman from Boca Raton, Florida. And I found this meme, gentlemen, this week on Facebook. It was posted by a friend of mine who always finds really good stuff. And there is a gentleman out there named Saki Jones who posts on Twitter as at the Ferocity. And he posted this great meme, which just reads, 2020, I'm stranded in a sundown town and it's dusk. Voting for Biden-Harris is me hot-wiring the only car available. It's janky, I've never driven a stick shift before, and the radio is broken. But I'm going to make it work if that's what it takes to get somewhere safer. And I thought, gee, isn't that wonderful? It surely says what I'm thinking in the moment, but it's what a lot of progressives are feeling at this time, even with Bernie and Warren and a few others saying, hey, we've got to pitch in together. And I think most of the progressives and left or whatever you want to, you know, identify as, radical activists, whatever. I think everybody understands in this moment pretty much that we have to vote blue or you know who is going to,
and that's why I titled the show this. I mean, can you tell me, is there a coup underway right now?
I just lay that on the table for you, gents, you know?
Okay.
Professor, I want to let you take this one first, and I'll follow behind you.
I mean, Ron, the news is, and it's been confirmed by the House committee members and by certain senators on the Democrat side, that the head of intelligence has told the community to stop sending the missives and the intel to them on election safety.
Well, actually, what I read is that he's not going to meet with them in person. He'll just send written information, but no discussions with the committee. And I think that's outrageous. And the guy's a right-wing wacko anyway. He was in the House from Texas, and he never should have been made the DNI, but that's not a position that has to be confirmed by the Senate. That's the problem. We need to change that, so that we do have people, and a lot more people having to be confirmed, although he might have been confirmed anyway. But I'm just saying that John Ratcliffe is not the proper person. He's just there to be a lackey, not tell the truth.
Well, no, he wasn't confirmed. He was not confirmed. I don't believe he was confirmed. And, you know, I mean, it's like a merry-go-round them getting on and off at so many stops that it's hard to keep up with who's confirmed, who's not, and who's at the head of what. But it's a really great idea to get those written reports because it can be held accountable. And
supposedly there will be reports, but no conferences in person. That's the way I last heard it, but I haven't watched TV all day today, so maybe I missed something.
I've heard both renditions, but I did hear the Intelligence Committee congressman from the Democrat side relating just about the same thing at about, I don't know, it's 1 o'clock this afternoon on MSNBC, or was it CNN? I don't know. I was messing
around.
Well,
believe it or not, today I didn't watch all day the news. My son in Maryland said, it's for your own blood pressure. Don't watch it all the time.
Yeah, I can justify that. All right, I'll interject in here now. It's said that democracy is lost in darkness. And anytime you're stifling, censoring, shutting down the flow of information that would be critical in making decisions and running our government, especially with what the intelligence community has gathered and passed on to those responsible and in need to know, that's when we lose our democracy. And that's what we're looking at here, folks, is with this administration and those enablers within now our agencies and stuff, we're siding with this administration, is to limit the amount of information, proper aspects that are needed to know, and to make proper decisions for the running of our country. And this is a blatant aspect to take away what the damning evidence that's out there.
Well, in fact, this day, go ahead, I'm sorry. I was going to say I thought you were finished. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. And for the regular listeners of the show, I have been saying for, almost 4 years now, that at the time, 4 years ago, all three of our intelligence agencies admitted, have testified before Congress, that they had recordings of Trump and his campaign aspects, and it's coming out true. I mean, the evidence is coming out true, and I was standing here 4 years ago, that all three of our agencies have recordings of Trump committing treasonous acts with the Russians into hacking and gaslighting and taking over our democratic elections.
Yeah, well, the Senate Intelligence Committee, run by Republicans, came up with that conclusion in the last couple of weeks. So it's
not just Democrats.
You know, they're controlling the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Right. Well, that's what, all that did was just validate what I've been saying for 4 years that they have said. I mean, you could have heard it here first 4 years ago, and because my information was just as good as what these and matter of fact, from the Mueller report, when he had his information and testified before Congress, when Schumer asked him, says, did Trump and his campaign contact the Russian administration? Mueller's reply was, yes. Were they making treasonous acts and then lying to Congress and the FBI and other agencies that they are doing that stuff? And he said, yes. Well, these are federal offenses to be lying about our FBI, our policing agencies, that you, in fact, had committed treason against this country. And that,
yes, he has.
You know, and then you turned around and denied it to them, right? You lied to them. These are federal acts of crimes.
Yes.
So,
well, you have to understand. Yeah, you have to understand that. I just wrote today. Actually, it's interesting. What we're talking about comes up. I wrote it on the Progressive Professor. Fascism is on the horizon if Donald Trump is reelected. Warning of author Sinclair Lewis in his work "It Can't Happen Here" in 1935. And I point out that he was talking about Italy and Germany, Mussolini and Hitler, but saying it could also happen in the United States in his novel "It Can't Happen Here." And I'm saying in this article I just published today, it can happen here, and there's every evidence that we're moving in that direction, even now that Trump is attacking the Portland mayor after the right-wing wackos came into Portland and got involved in violence against Black Lives Matter, and ended up a person of that right-wing group wearing a MAGA hat got killed, which, of course, is terrible. But he's inciting all day today, and the Portland mayor, Wheeler, is saying it's time for the president to stop inciting, and it's time for him to stop promoting. But he's been doing that for 4 years. And yet I know people, I won't name who still think Trump is better as an alternative. And honestly, I'm going to tell you something. I know someone I had as a friend for 50 years, and when he was writing me about how much he wants Trump, I really laced into him in emails. And of course, he said horrible things about me back. But once he attacked, after I wished him good health, but I don't want to bother with you anymore, what happened is he wrote more insulting. So I went through everything I've known about him in 50 years I don't like, and I incited him more. And I think he probably has high blood pressure, and I'm so thrilled about it.
We're getting, gentlemen.
I decided to take full revenge on him in email.
Yeah.
And I feel great ever since.
That's not right, Elon.
It's my fault, Gwen. I corrupted the professor.
I don't know whether you corrupted me. You've been reading me for years, but I cannot fathom how anybody, who's a minority person or anyone who's gay or lesbian or Jewish, how they could, well, not that others should, but how they could, even women, how could they vote for this monster, this terrible fascist? And yet there are plenty of people who still will, and who knows? Anything can happen. And, of course, there could be manipulation of the vote. There could be, indeed refusal to accept defeat. So we have a major crisis ahead of us, but this man has to be removed somehow. I'm just praying it will happen.
And it needs to finally be said here, too, that, I mean, a lot of really people, I respect their prognostic political capability over the years, and especially with what's been going down since the 2016. And I got to tell you, a lot of intelligent people I know, full of their opinions, are, and it's starting to scare the hell out of me that they're right, that no matter who wins this election, there is going to be there's going to be bad blood, and there's going to be trouble in the country. And I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what to expect, but I mean, I'm buying toilet paper every time I go to the store. I'm loading
let me interject a comment on that statement. Yes, I have written here just today and passed it on to many that I see it as two scenarios that's coming up on this election. One, if Trump wins, we are going to go into the most depraved, corrupt, aspects to the depths of hell that this country has never seen before.
It's already happening, yes.
Yeah, it's already autocracy.
But if he wins a second term and has total now, another 4 years of total immunity, and then bastardizing the judges and every environmental aspects and stuff, is this country is swirling, is going to be the deprivings of hell. But if Biden wins, it's still going to be some tough times, because you're going to have those who will want to rise up. It's almost like after the Germany was conquered, there were still pockets of Nazis who were willing to commit terrorist attacks. A lot of them could not handle the fact that they've lost and were committing suicide, but it wasn't for the lack of trying. And that was the task of the U.S. Army in Germany, the occupation American troops and the Allies, was to find these cells of neo-Nazis and basically, we'll use the word, neutralize them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a scary situation that we're in now. And the thing is, I even wrote in this entry I was talking about that I'm worried that our presidential and vice presidential nominees could be threatened with assassination, just like Robert Kennedy was. I mean, God forbid, of course, I don't want either Trump or Pence to be heard either, but I think it's more the right wing we have to worry about going after one or the other when they're out in public, which they're going to start being somewhat. And I'm scared to death we're going to have an assassination threat or attempt or maybe success. And, and it's just unbelievable. But that's the way things have become in this country.
Yeah.
Well, I'm seeing some commentary on the side here, and the statements made that criminality just doesn't matter anymore. And that's true. If you've got a MAGA hat on, or you're next to a cop that's not completely, and not every cop in the country is a MAGA supporter, but it just it just seems like you can't cross that thin blue line, and that blue line is for MAGA and Republicans and conservative and every other damn thing that says autocracy, Trump, white supremacy, hate and fear, and let's keep the black guys down, the blacks down, and the browns down, and, immigrants
and Jews
are bad. And
Islamophobia, too. Yeah.
It's high cotton for people like Stephen Miller and Kushner to be standing where they are and saying what they are. I mean, my gosh, these guys are Jewish.
It's Judaism. That's what they are. Unbelievable. But they are crazy. Look, the person I told off after 50 years is Jewish and very Orthodox, and, you know, I just told him what I thought. And, of course, he probably hates me. He actually does hate me now, but I don't care. I don't care because it makes me feel good that I finally told the truth about somebody that I've had problems with for years, but always believe you keep it to yourself, you know. But when this happened now, this discussion, I said, enough is enough.
No. It, being silent is no longer viable. You cannot
consider yourself
a decent person. And I would say from the side here is being allowed to turn government into a dictatorship with checks and balances failing. And that's my words. I'll give them over to Hobbit. And the thing is that she's completely right. That's what we're watching happen in our government institutions. And how long before banking begins to be affected? How long before you can't go down the list on your guide on your television and slip over to MSNBC and hear people
and
talking?
And CNN, too, yeah.
And CNN, too. I've been slipping between the two of them during the RNC, and both of them are fact-checking like nobody's business. And
it's lying so much and tense. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Convention.
On the last night on MSNBC, it was because Rachel Joy and Nicole Wallace were commenting.
Who's a Republican who worked for Bush, by the way.
Right. But Nicole Wallace has been aghast since the election, before the election the last time.
Well, actually, a lot of conservatives who are not in government have condemned and have come out against Trump before and now. And we have all these different groups that are involved in creating videos, to try to convince people. So there's plenty of people who say he's not a conservative. He's destroying the Republican Party. And so it's not as if everybody who's conservative likes Trump. Anybody with the brain in their head doesn't.
Well, if you take a listen, you know, who's become such a silver-tongued devil about explaining who the hell Trump really is, has been on Nicole Wallace's 4 o'clock show every day. Not every day, but a lot of days. And that's Steve Schmitz, John McCain's old manager.
And he's he's wonderful, Steve Schmitz. He really is.
Well,
he says it as it is.
He's the one who's done the Lincoln Project. He's the one who's power behind the Lincoln Project. And he speaks out directly because he's not only infuriated, I think he's frightened, like many people are in power right now, that something like a political coup is taking place, and they're doing everything that they can think of to make people aware that, you know, and all she really had to do was listen to the RNC and realize, and we've lost Ron, I hope he calls back, but you know, all she had to do was listen to the RNC to realize that it was just horrible.
Well, and then I'll reflect back. It was in 2005. I had a very good Republican Congressman Wayne Gilchrist in my district. He and I were friends. I worked on many environmental projects. I mean, he believed that you couldn't poison people. That was a crime. And there were companies that were doing that. And with his help, we fought that and got it stopped. But he was overthrown by Andy Harris and the Tea Party. Fortunately, he's no longer in Congress. So Andy Harris in the 1st District of Maryland is nothing more than a corporate stooge. But there was I was helping Wayne Gilchrist on one of his reelections. And he had a Tea Party Republican challenger, and within a matter of a week, I had totally, along with some friends, I had some very good friends, who just totally destroyed that man's campaign just by exposing him.
Right.
And so anyway, but one of the things I'm proud of saying is I had a one-on-one with Jack Kemp, who was there at one of Wayne Gilchrist's fundraisers. And I spoke with him, and I told him about how the Republican Party was going to regret accepting in the Tea Party aspects, the extreme conservative aspects, which was nothing more than the Klan, the John Birch Society aspects, and the Christian fundamentalists, the extreme Christian fundamentalists, that they were going to take over the Republican Party, and that you know, the Republican Party was going to suffer and regret that one day. Of course, Jack Kemp's opinion was you know, they thought they knew better. Their own hubris thought that, well, yeah, we can control them, right? And his exact words were, well, they're a good demographic to whip up at and get motivated at election time. Pause. You know, when it's time to whip up the nut jobs. And that's what Jack Kemp was referring to, this Tea Party aspect.
Do you want me to call you in, or can
today,
you call
right,
in?
They morphed into the Trumpsters, that they were nothing more than the nut jobs and that they could control them. And when I told him that, no, I disagree with you, they are going, you're giving them validity and empowerment,
7, 8,
and
4,
the Republican Party is going to regret
6,
it. Here
3,
we are
9.
Today. What was that?
That's right. I'm helping Ron call back in.
Okay. Oh, okay.
He got
so
knocked off
I'll
by electrical.
Yeah, okay. I'll keep the show going here. So anyway, this is the kind of exposure and the voice that I had at the time, and anyway. When I moved, finally sold the farm on the eastern shore of Maryland and was able to come back home from Columbus, where I was doing consulting engineering out there, and we bought a place here in Annapolis, that when I registered and changed my address and stuff, I removed my party affiliation with the Republican Party because I was not going to be my name be added to the list of those trolls.
Yeah.
The,
I get you.
Degenerates,
Ron,
the lesser than.
Ron,
and,
can you hear me?
Yes, I just said that I got knocked
all
off
right.
by the electric law. I'm glad to get back on. Sorry.
Okay, very
That's
good. And I was just getting the sugar. I just explained what I had told Jack Kemp back in 2005, Professor.
Yes.
It's gone way beyond that, Wayne. It's way beyond
well,
that
absolutely,
kind of.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had no dream that they would be as Trumpism enabling him and basically fawning after him like some false god is where we are today. Even in 2005 when I was giving my warning to Jack Kemp, who had just lost the vice president, Bob Dole.
That was 96. That was 96 actually when he ran.
Yeah, well, that was 96. But, I mean, he had lost against Clinton and Al Gore. But I was talking with him in 2005. So, in other words, he already had a notoriety of at least being a candidate for the vice president who I was speaking with.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and,
you know, the case is being made by intelligent media right now and writers and commentarians that basically the social fabric of the U.S. is just absolutely frayed. It's unraveled. And whoever wins this next, you know, election, there is going to be basically a huge debacle socially, either way. The lesser would be for the Biden-Harris ticket to pick it up. And I really do think that what we're looking at there is very quickly is a President Harris. But, you know, they've got to brace for it. They've got to be ready for it. I hope they're seeing that this is on the table in front of them, that no matter who picks the election, you know, there's going to be a fallout. And I really am surprised that the Democrats who do sit in chairs in the House and in the Senate right now are so paralyzed from taking more strenuous actions against these absolute boundaryless assaults against our institutions, our government, and what's being done by a lot of different politicians at this point. And yeah, they're Republicans, but there's Democrats that are really, there's some Democrats in the background of this too.
Well, but again, the problem is we have a split Congress. Because the Senate is Republican, you know, nothing can really be done. Mitch McConnell and others stand in the way.
Yeah,
so what we need is both houses to be Democratic. It's never been good historically when you have a split Congress of one party in one house and the other party controlling the other house. And this is one of those rare times, so we're really in a mess. It cannot continue this way.
Well, no, it can't, but... I do think that the chances are that the Senate will go Democrat, will go blue during the election.
More than just minimum. Hopefully not just minimum. I hope it's much more than 51 seats. And they need to get rid of the filibuster. They really do, you know.
Yeah, they do. What they really need to get rid of, which is going to be impossible, is Mitch McConnell. Because you know
he's,
well,
he's behind in some polls in Kentucky. We'll have to see.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because he's got the state rigged. You talk about your rigged election. Come on, get real. Put your blinders off.
Absolutely.
No, but supposedly there's a chance he has a very low public opinion rating. I'm hopeful he could be beaten, but of course, no guarantees. You know.
I'm talking to you about back doors, cigarettes or cigars and booze flowing and ballots being stuffed into boxes, kind of the state is set up for him. He will win it no matter what. Even if the legal count is for the other guy, they will cheat their way in. What the hell do you think they did in our state, Ron? You know what Scott did when he went down to Broward County.
Florida always has these 1% results, and that's and Scott won three times, twice as governor, once as senator, and I do think with DeSantis only by 1% or so.
He went down and stole votes out of Broward County, and this is not the first time. They cheated their way in, and nobody did nothing about it. It was up to the state legislature, and they let it fall because there's so many goddamn the Rifle Association. I'm losing it, guys.
The NRA. You're referring to the NRA.
The NRA.
Yes. Which, by the way,
they
have proof that the money the NRA was funneling to the Republican candidates across the country was being
coming out of Russia,
contributed
from
Putin and his oligarchy through the NRA to the Republicans.
That's why they're losing their bank accounts.
To Putin. I'd have to look up her name, but she pled guilty. Said, "Yeah, I did it." Right? Of course, she was able to go home.
Yeah,
but she admitted she was the source that funneled the money, and
she gets to go back to being a fluffer. I get it, but the point is that the NRA has lost its banking capacities in many American banks. I don't know how they're doing it. It, I guess, depends on chapter and place with them, but they have been caught at this, and so the Congress is issuing all kinds of stuff out. We don't even realize how many freaking investigations are going on surrounding the Trump phenomenon.
Absolutely. Well, Southern jurisdiction in New York City has got they're just stacking and piling the evidence. Matter of fact, they're the ones who are suing the NRA to shut them down, especially Pierre LaPont and his cronies, because they were misusing the funds that people donated to the NRA because they won't want them Democrats to come to their house and storming and tripping and grabbing their guns. And, you know, they're just
but that's
whipping
not
up
what
the
it's,
fear.
You know, you're talking about charges they're using to try to put the NRA to sleep. But the point is that the NRA's money has been so huge that is nothing. That kind of corruption is low on the totem pole. What they've used it for is judges and to bribe different, bailiwicks all over the country to put through legislation and to get Republican, crackers and white supremacists put into office throughout the South primarily, but you'd be surprised. I mean, Ohio's full of it. New York has a problem.
And you're talking to a guy who lived in Ohio for 6 years, and I saw the the First Energy, which was a defunct, poor decision-made business in Mexico, who was generating and supplying electricity to basically the northern part of Ohio. And they actually, you know, arrested many top leading Republicans in the state house for blatantly accepting bribes from the First Energy. And, like, they got, like, they contributed $1 million to the Republican Party, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But the Republicans in control passed a bill that subsidized First Energy to the tune of $50 million every year in electric rates to that First Energy. So every person in Ohio is paying more for the electricity.
Does it occur to anybody sitting here right now that maybe we need to have a reset on the government? Really? I mean,
look at the corruption, the filth is so deep.
We need a system reset. And, you know, does anybody believe that the Democrats with who's going in is going to be capable of that? I mean, when they say that there's going to be disruption, no matter who wins, what's going to happen in that moment? Because it's an opportune moment, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. And plus, too, you know, here's the other thing. Let's throw in the pandemic variable, too. Let's use John Nash's game theorem and identify all the variables here. We've identified the corruption of the Republican Party, and if the Democrats give in, all the challenges and the corruptive embedment that is going to take years to dismantle, provided they keep their ethics too. But let's also throw in the pandemic. There was a Yale.
Oh, and there's corrupt Democrats too.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. If they can keep their ethics of what they're trying to present right now, and, you know, Murphy's Law.
Yeah.
But, the infectious disease doctor specializes in infectious disease from Yale. Basically, has made his diagnosis is the United States, because the way that we have handled it, the crisis, will never now be rid of COVID-19.
Well, you know, I'm not going to go and embrace that one, but I do know that by the holiday, I mean, because we just simply don't know. And most of the credible doctors who are working on this and scientists who are working on this global are saying, you know, they really don't know. I understand what you're talking about.
Right.
Get rid of it. No, but tap it down. Yes, the disease itself from the symptoms arising in your system is what they're going for. And that, in essence, is a vaccine. But for us to, it's probably true. Once it gets in there,
COVID,
it'll be there.
Your common cold that you
it's
catch,
COVID.
You might catch it in the fall, right? And then spring comes around, you got another cold. That's because and the cold is really a COVID virus. And it is very good at mutating, modifying itself. And that's why right now there's 9 different strains of this COVID running through the country.
And they're building.
And it may be as light as I've got really bad flu symptoms to I'm dead within 2 weeks. And, of course,
or
as you mentioned, we've mentioned before on the show.
Wayne, the children are going out in public. Children have gone out in public for the first time in a few months with their parents. With masked up and all protected, yet come home. And, you know, children, somebody probably wiped a nose or an eye or something. They went home, they were tired, they went to bed, and they never woke up. This has happened that I know of 3 times in 3 different states. That scares the hell out of me. I mean, it's a children. We're talking about children from the ages of, I think it's 8 to the age of 11. And that's frightening.
Well, again, that was one of the strongest strains. And we've mentioned on this program here weeks before that even if you catch, you know, the COVID-19, right, and you think you've gotten over it, there's long-term effects 5, 10 years down the lines. that where that COVID-19 has embedded itself into the muscles around the kidney, around the heart, that you're going to have heart problems, you're going to have kidney problems, all because you got this little, it was just the flu.
And they've also spoke about how they are working towards the symptoms, and they're working towards what it's leaving behind too. They're not, you know, just saying, well, that's what happens, too bad. I mean, this is all ongoing science, medical science that they are working on. And in the moment, it's just way too frightening. And for the Yale doctor, scientist, to make that statement, it's not just credible in America. It is credible on planet Earth.
Yes, I'll agree with that. Absolutely, Gwen. Yes, it is. Look, COVID doesn't give a damn if you're German, French, American, Russian, South African, Brazilian. It doesn't matter. We're all part of one race. We are the human race. And that's what COVID-19 is attacking.
I've got to say, and you know as well as I know, how close it is to where it should go right up the old back door. And if it proves that my mother's refrain was the truth, that some people are too effing mean to die, because if anybody should be sneezing and coughing.
I am not going to argue against that statement. You're nailing it. Absolutely.
Ron.
Right. So, yeah. Do we have Ron with us?
I don't know.
Yes. I'm here.
Okay, good. Jeez. Well, I'm going to have a turn, Professor.
You usually step in at that point, Ron, and say, nobody should feel bad about, you know, nobody should be wishing that kind of thing. And I'm usually pretty good.
That statement needs to be deserved well among many that I can think of right now. I've got a list. I won't bore you by reading it, but I have a list.
There's just way too much going on out there. And this was the longest week I can remember in memory of emotional stress and strain, not just people personally, but people in a collective. I mean, I've watched Facebook late at night this past week after the RNC, and the blood pressure system of the country must have been way up there. And there's been so many individual happenings, you know, so many events have occurred during this that have riled up just everywhere. Now, when the DNC was doing theirs, that was not happening that way. But the RNC, the list of lies every night that were blatantly told were just incredible.
There were those who were fact-checking all the statements that were made by anyone and everyone, all the speakers there at the RNC, and they were saying, you just heard 3 days' worth of pure bullshit.
Yes, and what about Kimberly Guilfoyle, Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend? She made herself look like a total nut.
Yes.
Shrieking at the top of her lungs. She was married to Gavin Newsom in the past. Now I know why Gavin Newsom and she broke up years ago.
She's off her ass.
They both looked like they were on cocaine, it was said at the time, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that was quite a performance. I only saw snitches of it on Nicole Wallace because I did not watch the RNC.
I didn't watch it either.
And I get to my mute button quickly when they start playing something that Trump is saying. On the last night, I believe, or the night before, Rachel Maddow stepped in and said, we have to step in right now. To anyone watching, you need to know that these are false statements about corona. It was just about COVID, but she stepped in, and I believe CNN stepped in too, to say this is false information, or they ran it at the bottom of the screen, something like that, because that was endangered to, that's like being in the line of fire from a political, you know, it's like throwing a bomb, a grenade into the public. It was just ridiculous. And somebody reminded me just recently how inaccurate those COVID tests are that are supposed to be immediate.
They're not accurate at all.
They can be, they mostly aren't, they might be. And that's what they were using at the events around the RNC, is my understanding, because mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. what commentators were saying. But, you know, then on Friday night, Trump had a COVID spike event in New Hampshire. He yes. held a rally, like 1,400 people showed up, and they handed out masks. They handed out the little cloth, the masks.
Right.
And when the speaker came on saying, you're supposed to wear a mask because in New Hampshire, it is against the law not to now, to be out public and in mm-hmm. a crowd, you cannot have an event without masks and social distancing. It's the law. And that's exactly what was going on when they said you need to put your masks on. Everybody booed. Big time.
Yeah. That's the stupidity. Like I said, these are lemmings being led to the sea to jump off the cliff. It doesn't matter what logic, evidence, anything.
Yeah, you're right.
They are going to follow Trump because Trump said it's just one day it's going to automatically just magically go away. And it's magically delicious.
Listen to me, though. There's a big difference between magical thinking and magical practice, okay?
I was being the leprechaun with Lucky Charms.
I know.
I'm sorry.
it's just incredible that all of this is happening so quickly, and it seems like there's a ball rolling. And I was really completely serious. Is there actually a coup going on?
Yeah.
I mean, Ron.
And we're seeing the underpins, the underrumblings of a coup. And just like we've stated here earlier, should Biden win, there is going to be those who are saying it was stolen, because Trump told them it was going to be stolen if he loses. And they have armed themselves with military-grade weapons. And the first task of our law enforcement, and I'm talking about have to be the federal FBI, because a lot of the local cops are going to be within this, embedded within this, the government stole our election kind of aspects, like the Kyle,
Ron?
The kid that shot up.
So, Ron,
anyway,
what
go
do
ahead,
you
Ron.
Think? Yeah, Ron, what do you think? The upshot.
About what now? I was away for half a second there. What was it you were just talking about?
Go ahead, Gwen. You sum it up.
No matter which way this election runs, there's going to
be
trouble.
Oh, it's not going to solve itself just because Joe Biden gets in. No, of course not. But at least we'll go in the right direction on the virus and on the economy. But of course there's going to be lots of hate and threats against both the president and the vice president. I mean, that's obvious. You know, it's a tough job. And I think it's the toughest job since the World War II.
We were talking about the rising up of militias, striking out, creating violence.
The violence that'll come up for this.
Well, they'll have to crack down, unlike Trump, who encourages it.
Well,
that's going to be the first task of the FBI is to, you know, it's like what they did with the Black Panthers and the anti-war movement and stuff. They embedded agents into those, and then like, oh, look, I've got a bomb. Here, go plant it somewhere. And then when, you know, the poor naive kid went and tried to do it, then he was arrested for trying to plant a bomb. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Well, that was ridiculous. This is not the same thing. What we have going on right now is basically you're going to – these people are crazy, and they're being told it's okay to go out and shoot people. They're doing it out in the Northwest and the Midwest. I saw a truck full of Trump boys last week rolling down my neighborhood street. And there's mostly Biden signs, you know? So, I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, are these guys trying to intimidate us by rolling down the
absolutely.
Street?
Oh, absolutely. Look, they were doing that up in Toledo. Of course, you know, Toledo's where there's a big neo-Nazi ultra-conservative aspect. And as a matter of fact, it was a guy from Toledo who went down to Charlottesville that drove his car into the crowd of people. I mean, they sent him to jail. It was from the Ohio that he went into north of Pittsburgh with his automatic rifle and shot up a synagogue because he was a neo-Nazi from that northern part of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
That's where there's a hotbed brewing up there. And
so, Ron, my question to you was, what do you think, how do you think government institutions under a Democratic president who gets in the House and it begins right away in a crisis situation, what do you think will be the path going forward to tramp it down? What would President Biden issue besides a state of emergency?
I think he would become like an FDR in many ways, doing all kinds of government programs and all kinds of government initiatives. And, of course, I know people say, oh, that's socialism. And I'm sick of hearing socialism. They don't have any idea what socialism is. He's not socialist, nowhere near it. And, you know, but I think he will be very assertive and very, very activist. And again, he'll have opposition and he'll be under threat all the time for his life because of this crazy country with 40% of the country is totally nuts.
I'm talking about domestic terrorism going aghast if he wins.
He said they're good people with Charlottesville, so it'll happen anyway, either way. But, he'll be emboldened by Trump winning if he does.
And I'm wondering, what do you think, how do you think President Biden and the Democrats will actually handle that situation? That's what I'm wondering. How will they handle that crisis, that emergency? What will they do? Will they bring out the National Guard? What is going to happen? Because it's my thinking at this point that the National Guard and the Homeland Security is pretty much a bunch of white supremacists.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Well, hopefully it'd be different. It's very hard to imagine the future. It's going to be tough. And honestly, for Joe, I'm saying, is it good he's the candidate? I'm not sure it is. What a burden to have to carry for anybody, and even the vice president. You know, it's a very
well, –
I think some of the people who didn't become the nominees probably are happy they aren't.
I can see what you're saying. No, Ron's right. I'm actually quite worried for Biden and Harris, and I think they should have Secret Service details on them right now.
They do. I'm sure they do because
they're
the Lord. Now they're the nominees. I don't know if they did before, but now they do have protection. Yes.
Well,
yes,
they definitely have protection.
I hope they have the right guys. I mean, and women.
Well, a lot of Secret Service does not particularly care for Trump, I gather. Look how many have gotten sick because of his public gatherings, you know. He doesn't care about Secret Service men as individuals. He only thinks about it himself, how anybody with their right mind could vote for a guy like that. One thing, if you made a mistake in 16, okay, that could be. But now, to vote for him, you have to be out of your mind. You have to be insane or just a bigot, one or the other.
Well,
there's no other answer.
What it is, it's a cult. It has become a religious cult. Those who are willing to go out and drink Kool-Aid, and go out and kill in the name of Trump, you might as well say, I killed in the name of Allah. I killed in the name of Trump.
Well, the name of Jesus.
Kind of religious
if they act like the evangelicals know what Jesus is about, they're all bigots. Jesus was not.
Right. Yes, of course.
Yeah, no. And
for many,
besides,
that's self-evident.
Yeshua ben Joseph was a rabbi, for crying out loud. Get jiggy with what a rabbi really is. That's a teacher and a good man and a man of letters. He was a healer. He was not, and besides that, he was Middle Eastern. He looked like the guys they hate. You know what I'm saying here, gentlemen?
Yeah.
He was a brown man. So give me a break. But the thing
is,
but the thing
is, you're
going to upset some evangelicals to say he's a brown man.
But he was.
He was talking about it. They think he's white and blue eyed.
That was Michelangelo, one of those Renaissance painters.
Well, Joseph Joseph was a Jew too. He was not a Roman. So the only way Jesus could have been born the way he's depicted familiar-wise, what we see him depicted as for the most of the time, he would have, because his mother was Jewish. She was Middle Eastern. So, I mean, right. If he had two Middle Eastern parents, come on, let's not go
into
right.
The DNA is right
to
there.
The Holy Ghost and all of this. Yeah, I mean, give me a break, people.
Yeah, no, I saw something from quite humorous but accurate was, in the time of the New Testament and the Old Testament, there were no white people mentioned. There were no white people in those books. You know?
Well, there were, actually. There were Romans, and Romans
But they weren't, they weren't the messiahs. They weren't other religious. They were the white people were the bad guys.
Well, many of the apostles were part Roman. Because the Romans, remember, had been there for a long time marrying, Jewish women and Middle Eastern women. They intermingled. That's what happened in Ireland with, the Turks. I mean, that's what the black Irish are. That's a come on.
Right. Yeah,
so,
right.
I mean, the whole thing is kind of a screwball affair. I agree, but I don't know how we got over here. But the thing I wanted to bring to the point of is too, here's this kid, totally brainwashed, who has a fanatical mother who in gives him leave to be this way, and it's all drama and fear, and it doesn't take it. It's the dim bulbs of the community who buy into this drama and fear because it fills their lives with something. I'm talking about the psychological end of these haters and these white supremacists. They basically have no education,
right?
And what education, even the quote educated ones. Well, haven't you ever heard of an educated fool? I mean, lots of them in the community.
I know a few.
It runs in all communities. But the point is that...
Even with relatives.
Some people are just predisposed to join up with the fear and drama club because it fills a vacancy in their lives.
Right.
And this is what you got with these folks. And they are, as you say, Wayne, they're cultish. They're cultish.
Yeah.
Also mentally ill. They really have a mental illness because this is not normal behavior the way they act.
Well,
I
thought so too. They're dissatisfied with their own place in life, their own stratification. For instance, the industrial worker in Indiana who built Maytag washing machines and things like that. Well, Trump and Pence went there and gave Maytag all kinds of tax breaks to keep them from moving to Mexico. And Maytag said, sure, we'll take your tax break. That's great. We didn't want to pay taxes ever. But he said, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We're still moving to Mexico, and all these people still lost their jobs. It's $7 a day to assemble those washers and dryers in Mexico. And henceforth, the people who did not keep up their job skills, their training, their education and making themselves more marketable to the ever-changing jobs that we're evolving and morphing into, but they're now looking for someone to blame, and that's where they're
That was a big part of Elizabeth Warren's campaign, was to
go ahead, elaborate
upgrade.
On that. But tell people that more about that. Elaborate on that.
Yeah, it was a big part of her campaign to upgrade immediately people in the blue collar industry that have been suffering so badly since this Republican takedown. And she had some really great plans for it. And I also really, really liked her penny a buck tax on the uber rich, I think, and so did a lot of the uber rich too. There were a lot of them, like
Bill Gates
and a
Warren
few
Buffett
others.
And all those,
that were very happy to. And by the way, guys like Gates. Now, I'm not going to comment on who he is and what he is and what I think, but I will say this: He's like J.K. Rowling. I mean, he has a whole industry filled with people who are giving his billions away to what
yes.
he thinks are the right
yes.
causes to keep the planet
being
going.
Right?
Yeah, and it's like the same way Vanderbilt got talked into it, and so did a lot of the
Carnegie.
Rockefellers. And Carnegie, most certainly, and a few of the DuPonts. But of course, they're just, you know, the idle rich, and we go on there. There's no compromise with the Uber left. But my point is that, I mean, J.K. Rowling has made more billions than Stephen King. And Stephen
yeah.
King has supplied Florida universities, but all the universities in Maine. And I mean, and Stephen King hates Susan Collins' guts. Hates
right.
her.
I think Susan Collins is going down. I cannot imagine her, because Maine is not that right wing. I think it's very likely she will lose.
Yeah,
yeah.
No.
What you'll find
well,
more in
Maine is kind of wacky. It's always been
yeah,
kind of wacky.
Maine is more of the libertarian. Like, why should I pay taxes? I
and
don't
green.
Need that road.
Actually, they have a high state income tax in Maine. I don't know if you're aware of that. I have a cousin who lives in Maine. It's very high.
Uh-huh.
The highest.
Yes, they
It may
yes,
be libertarian,
they
but they have quite a state income tax.
Well, that's what
they do, and they're
libertarian
all,
is they don't want to pay taxes.
And
they're
very,
but they do.
They're very green. They're very green. There's a huge green contingency
yep, yep.
there.
Well,
but
they have
conscious. I will say that
a lot of their Republicans who've maintained office and those who put their toe in the door and then they turn out to be assholes. They play on that green and that a holistic community, because Maine is also very friendly to, you know, the LGBTQ
yep,
community.
Yes,
they're very
yep.
established in that. They're also one of their biggest things up there is putting the ocean back to right, because you've
yeah.
got a land of fishermen up there in the fishing industry.
Yes. You have
yeah.
to have sustainable, responsible
industry.
Fishery.
Yeah,
right. And
they've
that's
been what's big
happened
in
the Chesapeake Bay. They overfished oysters, and then for you know decades, and then
yeah,
you
did.
Had MSX and Durbo, which was a disease for the oysters. And basically, the Chesapeake Bay oyster, which was so legendary that you know they ship them all the way up to New York and all over, has really been decimated. The only oysters you're basically getting out of the Chesapeake Bay per specific strain of oysters, is farm raised.
Right, and that's a shame, especially
yeah.
cherry clams. But, gentlemen, we're come to the end of the show, and I want Ron to have a chance and you to have Wayne to have a chance to let people know where they can find you. And always remember that Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show, is sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. So, Ron, how can people find you?
Okay, they can find me on Facebook and also on Twitter under Politist, P-O-L-I-T-H-I-S-D. And, of course, I write my blog for 12 years now, you know, of course, which is The Progressive Professor. And I'm also on HistoryNewsNetwork.org under my blog, Ronald L. Feynman.
Okay.
And I can be found at Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. Basically, there's where I've stayed in a lot of my, you know, everyone's a some of their own life's experiences, and basically this is where I have posted, you know, the events and stuff in my life that made me who I am today.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. And
thank you. Very good show.
And so we will be back next Sunday for the Sunday show, and really, Blog Talk was down today. So I know it's because a lot of people have gone live with their, you know, radio shows with everything that's going on in the country. So God is willing and the creeks don't rise. We will be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. for the Sunday show. And we want to remember to wish our co-host Joe Dell a speedy recovery right now, and
mm-hmm.
to keep pressing forward as he
very well stated.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you guys for
thank
being
you.
Thank you and good night. Always a pleasure.
Okay.
There we go. This is Hear Me Monsters Radio. Thank you for listening.